But isn't that like kind of giving the finger to our UK friends? Or like, yeah, fucking America.
America, baby, fuck COVID.
Fuck I'm sorry. I thought this was America. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's our 4th of July. Actually, we should save it for the 4th of July episode where all the songs are America. And we should invite them to the recording for that episode. Right. But we should record it in June so they don't see it coming. You know, and then we'll record it.
Do you remember when we guys beat your asses 200-something years ago?
You know what Atlanta feels like.
You want
wasn't it 28-3 on the world at the time?
Yeah. Do we need to smack you again?
America.
What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drunk, but I am drinking my Truly lemonades. It's become a new tradition.
Oh, you're a Truly guy now?
Squirts, hello, Trulies.
Ugh. Yeah. Truly disgusting.
There are a few updates in Saints and NFL news this week, including a couple of free agent signings in the 17-game schedule that's been approved. So we're going to talk about those, and then we're going to kind of let this episode meander around in case you haven't figured that out already from the longest cold open ever. We're going to shoot the shit.
Wait, that was a cold opening?
All that was, yep, all that's going in cold open.
Fantastic.
Nope. Thank you.
All right, so, but we don't know what we're going to talk about. You're just going to have to listen to find out. Keep your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'll go with a smooth 3. So early this past weekend when I went to the grocery store, I made the conscious decision to not buy more liquor that I like. I want to try to keep some hard liquor out of the house for a bit just to kind of simmer down a little bit. I still got the wine, but I'm trying to like...
The drinking problem over there?
Slightly. So I was like, okay, I had a glass of wine with dinner. I'm like, all right, I'm good. And then I get the text, hey, you want to do a show tonight? Like, shit, okay. So it's gotten so low. I've got a bottle of Bacardi light rum in the bar that we swiped from Renee's mom's just to get away from her. So I'm like, shit, okay, this is all I got. I don't want to drink wine anymore. So I'm mixing Bacardi and Diet Barks root beer.
Oh, so it's going to be a 2-box or a 3-box game.
But I also have this tiny – thanks, Buddy D. I also have this tiny bottle of Texacraft sour pickle-flavored vodka.
I want to see you shoot that or taste that. Or
I'm not going to shoot it, but I am going to try it for the first time. I have not tried it yet.
So we put – while he does that, I'll tell you, tonight we had a
– no, ooh. It's not
good. Oh, my.
Sour?
It tastes like pickle juice.
Okay.
But it's 50 proof. So.
Ooh. All right. Yeah, we did the whipped cream, that Pinnacle whipped cream vodka in blue Powerade, and it tasted like cotton candy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How sick were you the next day?
No, we just tasted it tonight. We just took a sip and stuff.
So in 3 days, how sick will you be?
The oldest, Cameron, saw it on TikTok. So he was like, hey, let's try this. I saw it on TikTok.
This does not taste like vodka. It just tastes like pickle juice.
Oh, that's dangerous. That'll get you cramps out. You know, that's what you drink whenever you get a...
Uh-huh. I think somebody just put pickle juice in a bottle and marked it vodka.
They might have. Look, I didn't buy it. I just took it from a golf tournament. So
that's right. All right, Scott, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I am a 1. I'm drinking some Michelob Ultra. I'm interested to hear more about this 17-game schedule. I didn't hear about that. I didn't know that got it approved today.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not really news.
Oh, so... okay. It's not news? Okay. Yeah.
So, sure. There, I guess. And then Gun, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'm a 0. I've got a 0 going on.
You sure you don't have a few decimals mixed in there?
There is a decimal point. Yeah, I do. I operate on the decimal system and the metric system. So
The metric system. No, that's the UK guys who, I swear, you know, we're going to have to do one of those daytime recordings to get them on.
I did the Pelican Plunge at 10 a.m. to get Ben on, and he's already ready to do another one. So I think we're going to do one Saturday during the day.
I mean, it's only like 3:30 there. I don't know why they're not up. 3:30 a.m.
They got to shape up. So I'm good over here.
I'm good with a zero, Jeff. Zero and some decimals, and we're having a great time. I'm safe from falling roofs. That's
good.
It's all good. Got to get nice full moon tonight.
Ah, yes. Well, no cover.
Jason is making drinking. This stuff is hilarious.
Oh, man. We're watching it.
I wish y'all could see these faces.
Oh.
I'll do a quick promotion, and we'll do this. Every show needs to promote this. Yes, for every week until it happens. But on draft night, the Thursday night of the first round, the entire Dome Patrol cast is going to come together like we did last year. We'll get everybody in on the Zoom call. We might have a couple of special guests. We're trying to line some up.
You might, Rabbit.
If you're a longtime listener, never first-time caller, you can also apply to be a guest on the show. All you have to do is send us a tweet that says, I want to be a part of the Dome Patrol podcast party on draft night, Thursday night. You have to type all this. April 29th at facebook.com/Dome Patrol podcast. We're going to live stream this. We're going to record the live stream, and then we're going to publish it as a multi-part episode, just like we did last year. We're going to get tanked. We're going to talk about the draft. We're going to talk about other stuff. We're going to just basically, it's a draft night party. So come party with the Dome Patrol. We're going to be on Zoom. If you apply and you get selected, then we'll send you the Zoom link as well. And we can kind of schedule guests to rotate in throughout the show. It's going to be, if it's anything like last year, it's going to be pandemonium, and it's going to be hilarious, and it's going to be fun. And I hope you take off of work the next day, everybody, because you're going to have a headache.
Yeah. That's going to be Friday of the Zurich.
Ooh. So that's April 29th, right?
I don't know. Is that the date?
Yes.
I don't
know. Yes.
Tell people the 29th. No, it's the 26th. Yes. But yeah, feel free to text us on the 29th.
Wait, so we tell you, tweet us. So send us a tweet for April 29th at the Facebook Live. And then Jason's going to tell people, send us an email for the 26th on Periscope on Twitch.
On MySpace. Right.
Thursday the 29th. First round on Thursday. Right.
Thursday the 29th. So that's going to be the Dome Patrol draft night party. Everybody's going to be there. So you should too.
So shit, the Zurich might be the week before.
Live on Facebook. All right, let's get into some Saints headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
Where, let's see, let's check in on the Saints offseason real quick.
And that's so it. We talked.
We barely kind of scratched the surface with Sigler last week, but you guys didn't have a chance to talk about Alex Arma signing from the Panthers. Is that an upgrade to?
Can we talk about the second greatest Saints quarterback of all time?
And Brooks?
A rebuttal. Okay.
Well, not right now. We're not in the meandering. We're not in the meandering time yet.
I apologize.
Alex Arma, you like this? This is good, right? This is an upgrade.
Let's see. What position is he?
Who is he? Is that the tight end?
Yeah.
Fullback. Oh, no, fullback.
Okay. Oh, the fullback. Yes, the fullback.
It goes to show you how much attention I'm paying to the offseason right now. I don't know who's the fullback, who's a tight end, who's a defensive end. I know those are the three guys that we signed. I couldn't tell you who's who.
I like the fullback. I like Vannett. I like the defensive lineman from
Kansas. Yeah, I know the
Kansas
tight
City.
End starts with a V.
Vannett.
The fullback. Yeah, fullback looks good.
We are one of the teams that still uses a fullback.
Yeah.
And we use them fairly well.
Yeah. Sean Payton has had success with fullbacks. Connie.
Such an innovative genius finds a way to still use the fullback in the 2021 NFL.
Right. So Vanett, what do you know about him? How do you like this deal? I mean, this is kind of what Sigler was saying. It's better to bring in a guy with experience who's in the NFL, because tight end, especially with Sean Payton's offense, you want somebody who can kind of learn the playbook pretty quickly rather than a rookie.
Yeah, I read something today where, you know, Sean Payton, you know, he talked to Sean Payton and Payton kind of sold him on the idea of how they want to use him. Vanett says that he's a better pass catching tight end than what he's, I guess, been used for in the past. He's mostly been used for blocking.
It's nice to have somebody who can do both.
Yeah, both him and Payton feel that he can be used in the passing game some. So that will be good to see. I still think it's going to be Troutman's show. But I think Vanett, he even said that he's excited to get in to camp and to teach Troutman different things that he's learned, you know, throughout his career.
I do think it's a good thing to not – I mean, look, we think Troutman will turn out fairly well at some point, but it's still early enough his career where you got to have somebody else in here. So we knew, especially after Cutting Hill, we knew – okay, they need to bring so it can't just be Troutman and two rookies. Like, that's not gonna fly. You're putting a lot of faith on Troutman.
That'd be a real big fish and two minnows.
Everybody's doing the fish. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You
better.
Everybody's doing the fish. Yeah, 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 yeah. Everybody's doing the fish. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody's doing the fish. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh!
The one thing that I do like about the new guy, like Scott said, he's excited to be here. Like, I mean, look, Denver's offense was iffy. Now you're coming to the Saints and Sean Payton. Now, granted, it's not Drew Brees throwing you the passes anymore, but it's an offense that's going to hopefully maximize your skills. But I just like the fact that, yeah, this dude wants to be here. He wants to buy in, then I'm all for it.
Well, think about it. If you're a tight end in the league who believes that you can catch and you are underutilized where you are, and you look around at different offenses, different teams, and you see how he sees how Sean Payton has used tight ends over the past 10 years, even, you know, dating back to Shockey. You know, and if you're a tight end, you look at it like with Cook being gone, there's a wide open hole for a tight end to step in and just be the guy. It's kind of like it's almost like a college recruiting where you look at a team, you know, you look at LSU the year after Brady leaves and Burrow leaves, and you're like,
and Brady
hey,
left
I could start. Yeah, no, that's, and so
you should you just say go. What the so year after, don't go, the year after everybody
right,
left.
Right. Bad example. But yeah, you kind of look at it and say, hey, here's an opportunity.
I was just going to say, you look at like, kind of like what Jeff said, the way he uses tight ends. I mean, look at Jimmy Graham. What did he do after he left here? Not a whole lot. I mean,
he drank sour pickle flavored vodka.
There you go.
This guy was a donation challenge on a live stream.
I mean, if he had stayed, if he had the right attitude and could have stayed here, he would be a Hall of Fame tight end. And he's not.
Yeah, he kind of fucked himself.
Broken every record.
So Vanett, I like the guy. I'm with you, Scott. I like Vanett's attitude coming in.
Well, and it's also good. Look, we knew we needed a guy next to Troutman. Like I said, I expect Troutman to make a big jump from year one to year two. That's the same thing Jimmy did. You know, Jimmy, you know, towards the end of year one, you know, I remember being at that Baltimore game. He had that tiptoe catch in the end zone. It's like, oh man, this kid, he started to kind of put it together, and it took Troutman a while. So you want to see that leap from year one to year two, but it's nice to have a guy here with him and not put all the pressure on Troutman.
So and Vanett's only been in the league for 5 years, so he's relatively young. You know, sometimes some tight ends can play for a very long time. If this works out, he could be here for a while.
We signed for 3 years. Well, can't get that one 3 years.
I'm talking I'm talking 7-8 years or something, you know.
I mean,
as long as he doesn't fumble the ball like previous tight ends, we'll be okay.
Or get a big head and try to call himself a receiver at his contract negotiation.
You get a goddamn job before sundown, or we're shipping you off to military school with a goddamn Finkelstein shit kid. Son of a bitch.
So I'm looking at Varnett's, what's his name? Vanett.
Varnett, good for you. You already don't know his name. Good. You're just like me. Three guys signed. Who cares?
I'm looking at Jim Varney. You remember him?
Oh.
You know who I'm talking about?
Ernest.
Yeah. Ernest goes I'm talking to about. Camp. That's okay, right.
Dude. Know what I mean, Vern? Know what I mean? Right. Know what I mean, Varnett? Know what I mean?
All right, I'm looking at his
that's going to be his new
bats over the last 5 years.
Know what I mean, Bennett?
Right. We got it.
We're going to have to find okay, you're going to your goal is to find
that clip.
Any Ernest clip. Whenever okay. we mention Bennett's name, there it goes.
I love it. It's such a stretch. Can I make it's a bold prediction? Stretch.
It is, but that's what we do.
Right. I mean, Real Big Fish makes a sense. Yeah, go ahead. Make a Super Bowl prediction.
Bennett doesn't make it through camp without getting cut.
Oh shit!
Well, we spent 20 minutes talking about a guy who's not going to make it through camp. It's this time of year.
You know, you're right, but I mean, statistically, he doesn't look impressive at all. But again, if he's been underutilized in Seattle and
Denver,
he played like Pittsburgh and Seattle in the 19. I mean,
you're gonna say like 1996. I'm like, okay, I lost you.
I mean, he pretty much looks like he's got like a 50% 75% catch percentage. Okay,
I mean, I'm not worried, but we signed him to a 3-year deal. They anticipate him being here. I don't know how many ghost years Loom has added onto it because he does like to do that. But unless he like tears his Achilles and he's done. Yeah. This guy's going to be on the roster.
But yeah, I guess. Okay. So yeah, I'm looking at his catch percent, 71%. Would you take a guy who catches 70% of what is thrown at him? I wonder what Jared Cook's catch percent is.
How many receptions a season? Like what's that number look like?
His average five catches per season or his total catches?
I love when Jeff digs into stats.
How many catches did he have?
I'm sorry.
Year?
Do you have something better to talk about?
How many catches did he have last year?
That's why I'm ready to meander.
Total catches 75 out of 105 targets. Last year, 14 catches out of 21.
14?
Yeah.
Okay, it's 14 and receptions 15, last year.
And he only played 15 games.
Only. His quarterback was also Drew Lock. He didn't have Jameis throwing to him. So.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you gotta think about this. You gotta think about the wonders that Jameis is gonna do to this offense.
So Jared Cook's catch percentage overall is 60%.
With the most accurate passer in the league.
That's right. Last 2 years it was 66% and 61%.
Yeah, but after he catches it, he runs with it like he's an overgrown toddler and he drops it. So
right. So Vannett is an upgrade. Vannett's an upgrade because Vannett caught 70%. From a guy who doesn't even play quarterback.
he also doesn't look like Beetlejuice.
That's true. All right. I'm. Oh, apparently is his nickname Baby Gronk?
Good. I hope so. Heard
that. That's on Pro Football Reference. Baby Gronk.
Okay. I guess we'll find out.
Yep. There it is. All right. So the other guy we signed is Tenno.
Ooh, good luck.
I'll see you in show, sorry.
Pardon me?
I said I've never even heard of something like that. Saints sign defensive end Tano Passanon.
Ahsoka Tano? Oh, shit.
So Passanon? All right. What do you know about this guy?
Nothing. He was played with Kansas City. He's a defensive end.
What I do know is he also, like Bennett, was looking at the Saints like, you know, just salivating.
Please give me money.
He said that when the Saints played the Chiefs last year, that he watched how the Saints D line got after Mahomes and all this shit, and that he just was really impressed. And he loves the culture of New Orleans, and he loves the idea of playing for the Saints. So he's also only been in the league for 4 years. Let's see.
He hadn't done much as
he's
far
got
as
seven
like,
total
sacks.
Yeah, he's not really a sack.
I think like last year he had one
sack. Yeah, his best year was 2019. He had four.
Apparently, the Saints scouted him a lot when he came out in the draft, and
they were looking at him.
You know, like so they liked his potential, and they think Ryan Nielsen can do something with him that Kansas City couldn't.
Gunn, you know where he's from?
No,
Kalamazoo.
Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Yep.
Never been there.
What's the city in, isn't there a Kalamazoo, Mississippi?
I believe there is.
Yeah,
I thought that was
but that's not where he's from.
I thought it was Kalamazoo, Mississippi, and then I saw the MI, not the MS.
I'm going to run for governor of Mississippi, and I'm going to run on the platform of changing Mississippi to just Mississippi.
Mississippi.
Yeah.
She's getting divorced.
No. We're just going from Mississippi to Mississippi.
Mississippi.
We don't need all those unnecessary letters, dude.
Oh, well, you run on that.
I will.
All right. So yeah, this guy, you know, I guess they needed a defensive end, so they got one. And I guess it's better to have somebody who's played for a couple of years than it is to draft somebody. And then it opens up your draft possibilities to kind of take best available, maybe.
Well, especially since we need a cornerback now.
Yeah. All right. So that's all your new players. That's it, folks. So let's run into a little quick NFL headlines. Not really news, but
I thought they call that the reach around.
The NFL reach around? Yeah. Oh, it's headlines that reach around. You pick.
I thought headlines are Saints and reach around is NFL. I mean, come on, man.
Oh, you're right.
We sound like a fucking bickering couple, Jeff.
It's been a while. All right.
You're clearly paying attention to the Saints offseason as much as I am.
I am paying more attention to the Saints offseason. I'm just not paying attention to the segment titles of the Don't
Be a lot cooler if you did.
All right. So let's get into NFL reach around, where the NFL has decided that the 2021 season, is it 2021, right? We will play 17 games, or they're going to play it. We ain't playing shit. We're going to get 17 regular season games, and that every team in the NFL will play an international game within the next 4 years?
Eight years.
Oh, well, then that's not news.
Well, that's the only thing that has me excited about it, because when the next time the Saints go to the UK, I'm going.
What if they send the Saints to Mexico instead?
Yeah, I was about to say, they said international game. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be UK.
Yeah, I have a feeling we're going to see a few more games in Mexico, and I be surprised if they don't try to go back to Tokyo. Remember in the 90s, they played a game or two in Tokyo?
I do remember that.
I want to go to the UK. I want to go see Ash and James and Ben. Yeah,
100%. We have to get sent to the UK.
We all have to go.
Yeah, I am all in for a UK.
I could tell you, I am all in, 100%.
Dude, how awesome would that be?
Right? Just think of all the live podcasts we can do. Like we do like a nightly podcast.
Walk around. We should bring a fifth.
Stream it.
We should bring someone else to just like hold the camera on us.
That's it.
The whole time. Yeah, and we'll film
Renee,
a documentary.
Renee or Andrea.
Scott's holding up a GoPro. Yeah, we'll get a film crew. And we do a documentary.
Follow us around.
Yeah, we'll even do like the diary sessions, you know, the diary room sessions. Like we'll pull us aside and we'll narrate.
You only need like one or two extra.
And then they're like, cut to Jason or something, who's like, we lost Ash 45 minutes ago.
he got pissed off.
Yelling, walking off into the distance.
Right. He got pissed off at somebody and we lost.
Saw somebody playing Final Fantasy and he had to go join.
Dude, that would be a fun trip.
Meanwhile, like, hey, where's Jason? Oh, he's been on the golf course for 12 hours today. Sorry, he's gone. Like,
that'll be your documentary session, is Jason right. doing that golf course tours.
I'm just going to be on the golf course.
I'll be walking through water fountains.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
But that is, whenever that day comes, and it's coming, that's going to be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
As long as it's not this year, like, if it's in,
no,
like,
it's
three.
No, too soon. I got to save some money for this.
Right. Like, if it's in, like, 3 years, that's a good time period,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah. So the 17 games, I mean,
I don't like it.
Us versus Tennessee is that game they added.
Right, which I do like Tennessee. I, I wanted to go like to Nashville that. The last time we went. Yeah, I'm game.
I'm
to go
okay
to
with that. But I mean, to me, like, man, 16 was a nice round. You know, you got four games every quarter of the season. Six, I mean, why? I mean, not why money, but.
And they did take away a preseason game with that.
Which, okay, jerk.
And that's fine. That's fine.
No, here's the thing. If they're going to go to 17 games, then they need to go to two bye weeks. I could get behind it a little if they had two bye weeks.
Or expand the roster size.
Right. Oh, we have a roster of 53, but you can only play 46 or 47.
Even
this is
set
this. This is setting the stage expense. To go to 18 eventually.
That's dumb. That's too many.
Go to 18.
It's too many. This is the owners being greedy.
This is not basketball. This is not baseball. This is a very high contact.
Dude's killing each other.
A league that says that it gives any legitimacy to player safety has no business adding, even at the expense of a bullshit preseason game. It is completely against the message of player safety to add a fucking 17th regular season game. You cannot say that you are for the best for your players and their fucking well-being and then add a fucking game. You can't.
Right. See,
somebody kind of float the idea of if they do go to more games like 17 or 18, them possibly saying, well, you can only participate in X amount, like 15.
Think of how that's going to throw off gambling and fantasy.
Get the hell
out
of here. You get the fuck out of here with that idea. No.
I didn't have the idea.
No, I know. I'm talking to the person who had it, and they're kicked out of the room. They're out. That's what I would say. So here's my take, Gunn, your point about the whole player safety thing. If you want to go to 17 games, that's fine and all. Don't get, like, you know what? You want to do that? But yes, now I'm not advocating that you don't do the 17 because I'm all about player safety and it's all on that. No, I'm advocating to say, like, okay, do the 17 games, all the other decisions that you've made in the past, basically stop talking about player safety. Just shut up about it. Quit acting like you care about it. You don't. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm not advocating that you should. Maybe I do think they should. Don't get me wrong. But my whole point is if they have a right to not care about it, don't care about it. But don't spit on my cupcake and tell me it's icing.
I think if they're going to do stuff like this, they need to find some kind of way to give the players benefits or give them.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Give them some kind of retirement benefit, you know, something. I'm just saying, if they're going to expand it like that, I know they won't.
I know.
But I'm saying that would be the decent thing to do. If you're going to do that.
So here's the easy solution.
Take the face masks off the helmet.
Here's the easy solution.
That would solve a lot of problems. You think I'm joking? Go back to leather helmets. These fuckers won't be hitting
they want the extra game. It's the extra revenue. You know, they get the extra 17th game of revenue for stadiums. But even in preseason games, while it's not full, it's still half full. This seems more about TV revenue. Well, if they could add a second bye week to a 16-game schedule and still stretch out the NFL season by an extra week and having one extra week of TV revenue and still have plenty of games to toss on TV and get the revenue for, because the NFL draws. They could still make this money without going to 17 games. They could add a second bye week and still stretch out the season by a week and make the same amount of money because they're still going to have the same number of games on the major TV screens. They could do that, and they should. Now think about it. 16 games is tough for the one bye week. Just think, when we're the Saints, our bye week is in week 5, then, man, at the end of the season, we're spent out. But if you do two bye weeks, like, every team should have two bye weeks. There's still plenty enough ways to space it out and still have plenty of games on television because there's so many games on TV that only the local market sees. There's a way to do it.
Speaking of that, did they say they're flexing Monday night games next year?
Yeah, that sounds weird.
Yes.
I'm sure they thought this through, but I'm sitting here on the outside and wondering.
The NFL thinks things through.
If I'm a coach preparing for next week and there's a schedule and there's a cadence and every day matters.
Well, you'll know.
You're
going to
suddenly tell me. I mean, what,
you'll know,
like
a
what,
month
a week
ahead
or two?
Of time.
Is it
no,
like,
it's right. like a month.
Is it a month?
I think that's what Jason said. It was 3 to 4 weeks ahead of time.
I mean, I kind of get, okay, so I do get it from the standpoint of, you know, if you try to go a year in advance, you're gonna end up with a few duds on Monday nights.
They're trying to put the best games in the primetime slots.
Right, right.
You know, I don't have a problem with flexing. I think flexing is a good idea.
Yeah. Now, the other thing I read, and I can't remember where I read it, and I can't remember if it was like 2020 in the way future or something, but something about other networks besides CBS, Fox, ESPN, and NBC hosting
Amazon. Amazon's going to do Thursday night.
So it's like streaming services would be airing games.
Amazon has in the past, but
they've done it in spots,
but not exclusively. And we're talking about them doing it exclusively now on a Thursday night.
On Thursdays, right? Okay.
That's the only place to get it.
Okay, so Thursday nights, which were like the NFL Network or CBS, would then become Amazon Prime.
Correct.
Okay. Did I not hear anything about like Disney Plus getting games? Or is that, am I crazy?
I didn't hear anything about that.
Okay. I hear anything about, I mean, Netflix wouldn't because they don't do live TV.
Nickelodeon.
Yeah, I guess it was Amazon Prime, but yeah, I remember reading something about like it was something that would really change how we watch football games.
Pay-per-view feed.
I don't think you should. I if they start making me pay to watch football games,
dude, they mic up
on
CD.
Mic up CD Deuce.
I'm out. Mic up CD Deuce. Okay, Mikey, CD Deuce is gonna wear a mic the whole fucking game. When you pay the $59.
Okay, right, but I have to have that free option. Give me the ad supported option to watch the game, or let me pay if I want mic'd up CD Deuce. And yeah, I'll pay for that. But don't make me pay to watch the same game I've watched for my entire life for free.
No, yeah, it's just an option.
Yeah, yeah.
I think them going on Amazon Prime exclusively on Thursday nights actually does set a dangerous precedent in that. It is a subscription-based service, mm-hmm. you know, which is different than cable, which is also a subscription-based service, but it's of a different. I mean, this is a streaming exclusive platform.
I think, but from when I read they looked at it and it kind of came out to where, and I'm going to make up numbers, the majority of people in the world have like, or in these, at least in the US, whatever, have Amazon Prime. Maybe more so than have access to the NFL Network where they were airing some of these Thursday night games.
Yeah, more
so
people are going
by going to Amazon.
Too.
Well, if you have Amazon Prime, it's not just for the streaming, you have it for shipping and you get the Prime streaming service as part of the whole Prime package. So like they were saying, like less people actually have subscription to the NFL Network than have Amazon Prime. So by putting the game on Amazon Prime, it actually makes it more accessible than it was when it was on NFL Network.
It helps. I have AT&T cable. They dropped NFL Network, so I don't have NFL Network anymore.
So there you go, too.
Jason, what streaming service are you using?
So I have AT&T UVerse. I still have cable because having cable. I like local. I know I pay too much, but then I have Disney Plus bundle with Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus, which is a great deal. And I have Netflix.
You don't have YouTube TV, correct?
I don't have YouTube. I don't have Apple. I don't have Paramount Plus. Okay. I'm maxed out. Like, I have enough streaming services. I don't want to.
The reason why I was asked about YouTube TV, and this is off topic, sorry. I know you're a big baseball guy. I've noticed that on my YouTube stream now, like for the channels, they have every single baseball game.
So is that
you can watch?
No, like I'm thinking like back in the day, back in like 2000, God, like 3, 4, 5, I would get the baseball package every year and watch Cubs games pretty much every night. But I don't know
this is included with the basic. It's like they have the MLB Network, but they have every, I can watch any spring training game.
Right.
And YouTube TV is only like $65 a month. And it has all your live shit that you want, Jason. Like you're overpaying.
But not Pelicans. There's a big deal. People are pissed because the Pelicans games, Sinclair Media, who was run like a lot of people cannot watch Pelicans games and they're pissed about it.
Yeah,
and
like we used to get them up here on Cox, but we don't, like we have Cox, one of the Cox channels, and we don't get them anymore unless
they're it's on Fox Sports NOLA, which is the Fox Sports local networks are now being rebranded as Bally Sports Networks. Like I'm still gonna get it because it's through UVerse. What are you talking about?
I don't know what he's saying.
All right, but I know like a lot of the streaming people are pissed because they can't get Pelicans games, which really seems like the NBA and whoever, like they need to figure some shit out because it's ridiculous that, I mean, you have to accept the fact that a lot of people are going to stream now. You want to give New Orleanians access to the Pelicans and you're not, and it doesn't help anything. Like nobody's a winner here. It's backwards.
I can read it. But I can read it.
Good it thing we're not live streaming.
That's so good.
I thought I had to write it backwards because the mirror it was gonna mirror image it. Okay. It was...
Did you write it left-handed or right-handed?
Left-handed.
So, did you start left-handed. Tight? Did you start tight, move wide? Are we still in the reach around?
That's what she says.
All right. What do you got an NFL topic before? Because I am pretty much ready to move on to the meandering thing. And I do want to talk about Saints.
Yeah.
I
want to talk about Saints on Twitter. It's Saints. It's a Saints. Hold on. I want to know who you guys think is the second best quarterback in Saints history.
That's Saints really. Hold on one second. There was something about the NFL that I wanted to talk about, and I can't remember what it was. Shit.
Well, then we won't talk about it. I'm gonna go get a drink. Why are you trying to think of it?
Go ahead. Second best quarterback.
It's a difficult question, right? I mean, who do you think it is, Scott? Who do you think second best quarterback in Saints history is?
I'd have to go Archie.
I have two options, and I know Aaron Brooks won the first only playoff game before Drew Brees, but when you factor in the ineptitude of this organization that he had to play through and how good he was, like if Archie was playing quarterback under Jim Mora with that defense, it has to be. I mean, as much as I pissed on Damon for saying it, I mean, it has to be Archie. Because if you stick Archie on the late 80s Saints, it's a whole different story. So as much as I joke and I – will fight for Aaron Brooks when people shit talk him. Archie should be the clear cut number two.
Well, I think it's a question of how much talent a quarterback possessed or what the team accomplished while the quarterback was there or what the quarterback accomplished while there.
Era. I'm not even factoring out, like the only era I'm factoring in is that how bad the Saints organization was. Like when Archie was quarterback, the Saints were probably the worst organization in all of pro sports. Like with all the bullshit.
Nick Jeanette would have never come and played for that.
You know, like poor That's ownership, right. poor management. The way it operated, like he got fucked. Like, look, I'm glad that he's here and he loves New Orleans.
So you're saying that Archie is number two, and you're basing it off of how much talent the person possessed. Nothing else matters.
Well, and he gets and even what he was able to accomplish despite the environment around him of how bad this organization was. And I mean, Andy did it for, you know, he was quarterback for what, 8, 9, 10 years for the Saints.
All right, Scott, you got somebody else?
Scott Scott said Archie first.
Okay.
I'll tell you who it's not.
Billy Joe?
No, it's not Billy Joe. I'll tell you this. I heard somebody say if you just go by stats, well, then it has to be Aaron Brooks. Well, that's not the metric we're going to use, okay? Because Aaron Brooks is not the second best quarterback in Saints history. It could be Jeff Blake before it would be Aaron Brooks. It'd be the man that Aaron Brooks replaced before it could be Aaron Brooks. I mean,
yeah, but Brooks only played.
I mean,
no, but I mean, Blake only played 8, 9
half
games
a season.
I'm sorry, like I can't put him ahead. He's played 9 games for the Saints.
He could have been better than Brooks.
Oh, okay, but he wasn't. That,
I agree with you guys. Archie's before Aaron. Whoa. I think Bobby Hebert is before Aaron Brooks. And I'm no Bobby fan.
I mean, if Brooks is so bad, then why are his stats so good?
It was a really, really shitty time. It's like it was
right. So he racked Katrina, up all those stats in a shitty time. Meaning, made the exact same argument for why Archie is the second best.
Well, I'll say this too. In terms of Bobby, look at the.
I'm only playing devil's advocate. I'm not.
Look, agree. Bobby Hebert was able to play with some of the greatest defenses in not just Saints history, but NFL history. Those defenses.
Yeah, I think.
And he couldn't win a playoff game with that defense.
Right, right. I think Bobby's out of the conversation for number two.
Let me say. Well, I don't think he said he was number two. I think he said he was before Aaron Brooks. Is what Greg said.
Correct.
I think you talk about comparing Brooks and Blake, but they were both on the same team, and Blake started over him.
And it was a horribly inept coaching staff.
So, I mean, that has to say something.
Hold on. You know what that says?
Jeff Blake.
No, you know what that says? That says that we signed Jeff Blake to a nice free agent deal, and we just traded for Aaron Brooks, who was a second-year player. That's why he started over him initially.
Okay. So, but I will say that if Jim Haslett wasn't so tied to Aaron Brooks and would have put in Jake Delhomme, we would have been a better team.
Okay, but we're not comparing Jake DeLome.
I'm putting Jake DeLome in front of Aaron Brooks too.
Oh my God. Okay.
If he was a better quarterback, if he would have switched to Jake DeLome, Haslett would have coached for the Saints a lot longer.
I'm putting Wade Wilson in front of Aaron Brooks.
If he'd have switched at that time.
Now, if he had switched to DeLome, we might have gone to Super Bowl before we got briefed.
No, we weren't that good.
DeLome went to the Super Bowl with Carolina Panthers.
Right, because the rest of his team was really good. We weren't that.
We were good enough. We were good enough.
He's the second greatest quarterback in Saints history.
He's full of shit.
All right. Can we switch topics?
I thought we were meandering.
Yeah, but I'm going to meander. I'm ready.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm ready.
He wants to turn left.
He's in the Beacom chamber room.
He's intentionally meandering.
It's like the switch on the time machine has gotten broken, and all of a sudden we randomly teleported into another.
Speaking of, I just started season 5 of Lost. Holy shit!
Yeah, that's it. The island's the wheels broken, and we're just
that's when we get into time travel. Time travel.
Yeah. All right. So I want to talk about Twitter real quick. It happened, and I think we owe it to our listeners to at least give our thoughts on what went down on Saints Twitter in the last
two weeks. Saints Twitter is never dull. That's crazy. There's always something.
Are other teams' Twitters like
stop,
this?
Stop.
We just don't know it.
Stop the count. We forgot to cover a major topic. Saints related.
Uh-oh.
Lattimore getting arrested.
Oh shit.
Okay.
Do you realize how fast you were going, sir?
Yes, I do. And there is an explanation for that.
It's got a little bit of that reach.
I don't think it's gonna I hope he doesn't miss more than like two games because of it. You know what I mean?
I want to know how he puts himself in a situation like that.
Because that's how he came up, bro. Those are his friends.
Right. Players hang out with their buddies. Like when we were in college, we were buddies. We just had fun and drove around and went to the Batcave. He drives around and has loaded guns. I mean, that's.
As I'm watching, by the way, again, as I'm late,
I never owned a gun. I don't know what to say.
Well, I'm late to the party, but I'm watching Last Chance U And it's almost, he reminds me of like some of those players that ended up at EMCC because they got in the wrong car at the wrong night with the wrong people.
You got to be smarter than that. Like, you are in a contract year, you're trying to get an extension, and you go and get arrested with a loaded handgun that is stolen. Now, did he know it was stolen? Doesn't matter in the eyes of the law, but it was a stolen handgun, loaded handgun. But
it's been a while since we've had a player with a gun storyline in the NFL. I mean, you think about it, we've had several years without that. Like, the last thing I can remember was like, was it Porter shooting himself in the ass at a club or something? But Bruce, like,
Smith.
Well, but that's not
what Will. Yeah, but that wasn't his fault,
and he was not an active player at the time.
It's just,
you know,
it's
just, he likely didn't know that the gun was stolen. You got, you know, give him grace on that. Okay, maybe he bought a gun from his buddy. You know, he's got money, his buddy doesn't. So
don't you dare pick on him if you didn't pick on Breeze for buying those diamonds. Which we did pick on Breeze for buying those diamonds.
Diamonds can't kill people, but they last forever.
When I ride around with a gun, when I've got a gun in my truck, it's fucking loaded.
Yeah, but you aren't a multimillionaire. Now, I don't mind it necessarily being loaded, but, well, I do. But I mean, that it was stolen. I mean,
why would it not be loaded? It's a gun. That's what it's fucking there for. It needs to be loaded.
Keep the clip next to the gun.
To me, it's more about the fact that he's, I mean, so really, actually, if you take all those, gun, I'm glad you said that, because at the end of the day,
if I bought a gun from you,
and I don't know it's stolen, and the gun being loaded, right? You're right. I mean, a gun is loaded.
Yeah. So what? I mean,
it's not illegal.
The gun that's in my vehicle is loaded. Why would it not be? That's what it's there for.
Do you have a license for it?
And it's I don't have a license for my gun.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, shit.
No, I mean, I legally bought it from a store, but I'm not required to have a license to have a gun. That's not a fucking rule in the United States.
Right. Well, you know what I mean.
I have like a license. If I wanted to concealed carry it, I have to have a license. Yeah. But there's no license.
But you bought it from a reputable store. They did their background check.
You didn't buy it from Jeff and Nakedish.
Right. I mean, that's completely different than what.
Have we seen the gun? I mean,
have you been to a gun show? If the gun show, you can buy guns from every person there. I mean, you don't know the fucking history on this.
Yeah, we don't know the particulars about this. Everybody's picturing him in some dark alley with some shady characters and getting like a Glock or something. And he might have bought what he felt was a collectible something or whatever.
I mean, probably not. But he's got more money than his buddies. They're gonna take the fall. He's gonna be fine. He's not going to go to jail. The only hope is that whenever he signs a contract,
I think they
set him
up.
A little bit of a discount.
I think he was set up because if this was in Louisiana, he wasn't set up. He was in Cleveland.
Jason, he could have taken the fall. You're right. He could have purposely been like, I can get out of this. It won't ruin my life. I'll take
just like Jameis Winston and the crab legs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A leader.
He's a leader. I like this. We're turning the narrative here, folks.
I'm fucking all in, dude. We're spinning this. He's the leader of our defense.
I mean, look, the thing is,
you better hire us as your PR firm.
I mean, we lost Jack.
You know what he did?
Our quarterback situation is dicey.
That's right.
All right. Go back to Saints Twitter.
Okay.
So Saints Twitter. you should probably just start all over with Saints Twitter. Right.
So anyway, on Saints Twitter, if you're familiar, if you're listening and you don't know who Nader is on Saints Twitter, you're not a part of Saints Twitter. Really quickly, basically, how do we tell this really fast?
Are you on the real Saints Twitter or the alternate universe Saints Twitter? Remember, like 2 weeks ago, there was a poll where like, who are all these people? I'm on Saints Twitter. I don't know any of these fucking people. There was an alternate universe Saints Twitter.
You just ain't following the right people.
And then they started a real Saints Twitter.
No, it wasn't this bracket. It was another bracket.
Right?
It was a different bracket?
It was the multiverse.
Yes, and nobody knew anybody.
Okay, so basically it was some dipshit who picked his seven friends.
Yes.
Right, trying to make Idaho. So it was Nader. Nader started the first bracket.
he was on the real bracket.
I am trying to make a joke at his expense.
Good luck.
Okay, so basically, Joe Horn's cell phone set up a bracket, March Madness, put some big names in Saints Twitter. and everybody on Saints Twitter voted, and you know, winner moves on, yada yada yada. Fast forward, final round, Nader versus Who Dat Wolf.
No, Dat Boy Wolf.
Dat Boy Wolf.
Classic Jeff. You should, Jeff.
Hey, it wasn't us. So Nader is like sweating for votes. He is hustling for votes. This is the most important thing in his life. Like
he got Cam Jordan.
He got Cam Jordan. Right? He wasn't really Cam Jordan. It was okay, Ultimate Universe Cam Jordan.
Cam Jordan with votes, Cam Jordan. I might be a five.
So he's got, I mean, he's desperate. Now, quick backstory. Quick backstory for those of you who don't know. So within our pod, the Dome Patrol group, you know, the cast, we have our own WhatsApp where we talk about stuff all the time. So I forget who exactly called him out the very first time, but everybody agreed that like several weeks ago when he was doing his Feed the Homeless Popeye's Chicken stuff, and he was making a big ordeal about how great of a person he was, something felt wrong, something felt off about this character. So we looked a little bit deeper and we kind of all came to the conclusion that we didn't trust him. Mm-hmm. So what we didn't do was go back on his tweets to find out what later everybody else would find out.
It wasn't just that, also like you
clearly like sociopathic
behavior. I sniffed a little anti-Semitism like without even looking very far.
Mm-hmm. You could listen to his podcast and just hear, like, he just, I don't know, like, he didn't know exactly what he was talking about. Like, his voice sounded like kind of like nails on chalkboard.
I don't claim to know.
Oh, but that's me.
There's a difference.
You know, it was just bad.
Okay, so you didn't like his voice, right? You got a stupid face, his voice, and I don't like your voice right now. It never made sense to us how he had 19,000 followers. And so during this competition, I guess, people started doing some research on him. And that's the part I don't know is like, what's prompted Saints Twitter to kind of just like investigate this guy?
Because there's a lot of other guys that knew, but there's a lot of old guard Saints Twitter that had been around him and had known him and had had dealings with him and had seen him. And a lot of the racist stuff had come out before already. He has had to explain that stuff before. And he would always, his go-to thing was like, it was 10 years ago. Rosfoglu, his, you know, who was his last partner.
Who was podcasting with him before.
Right. And is a very talented podcaster. And he put out like a 7-minute.
Who will be on the show.
Yes.
As a guest.
He put out a 7-minute like rebuttal that day, or like a message, you know, to the Saints Twitter that day. And he was like, look, he's like, this guy, he goes, number one, 10 years ago, it wasn't just 10 years ago. Like, it's come out that it wasn't just 10 years ago.
It was a year ago.
Right. Like, and he's like, well, it's been ongoing for a long time. And then he's like, and this 10 years ago thing, he goes, even if it was 10 years ago, he's like, dude, he's like, you're in your mid 30s. He's like, this wasn't like you were a child. You were a grown man saying these things.
You know what I mean? Like, 10 years ago wasn't that long ago in social media world.
It's not that long ago.
Me Too movement and all this was like 5 years ago.
So, but there'd been a lot of, it was bad.
Like social responsibility.
Nader, I think that when you look at somebody like Nader feels like, because he, you know, he says he grew up in the Black community. He will always tell you that he graduated from HBCU. You know, he even said that
in his apology.
Right. He said that in one of his many apology videos. He's one of those guys. And I mean, we grew up with these guys that were like not Black guys, but embrace Black culture. Right. Mm-hmm. And they like, you know, it's almost like he thought he had some kind of pass to say horrible fucking things. And he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
But it was.
That was the racism part of it. And right. And he said some horrible shit. And then the casual anti-gay, anti-LGBTQ that had been going on. And he's like, oh, that was him. No, they had that shit from like a year ago.
So if his rationale for being able to say racist things was that he assimilated and no, grew he up actually, in what he says and is, felt no, like he was a part of black culture.
No, he's saying, in one of his apologies, he said he's from a marginalized community too, which means he knows, but he's by saying that he's ethnically, he, identifies as Palestinian as his nationality, and so he goes, I'm a marginalized person because I'm Palestinian.
So that allows him to then marginalize people?
No, but he's not that bright about these kinds of things. So he'll say that in his apology, thinking it gives him thinking that means something, like that should get him points.
Right, because he too is marginalized.
And that's the same thing with the HBCU saying that and saying, well, I grew up around
the equivalent of white people saying, like, I'm not racist, I have a black friend.
It's that on a huge scale.
Right, that
on a very big scale. And like I said, and he thought he would have a pass for just saying horrible stuff, dude. And but then again, too, there's people that and his old partner, Brian, who was with him at WBLK and had the Saints show, the guy that did the sweatshirts together. Dude, I watched his 47 minute Periscope video. He called Nader out on all this. And because he's like,
Did this within the last 2 weeks too.
He did this like last week, yeah, like a few days ago. Yeah.
He's on Twitter.
He's Brian on my 12th account because like he just Nader got his Twitter account suspended. he's another guy. It's an old school Saints Twitter guy and Nader's old partner, and he'd had shady and he did a 47 minutes of here's what. And he's like, look, I love Nader. I take care of him. His picture of his mama holding my baby, blah, 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 blah. We were friends. We were brothers. We were family. Our families were close. But he's like, but here's some bullshit that he's done for a long time and it ain't cool. And, and then they continue to beef on Twitter for a few days.
That's okay. So all that being said, so then Twitter exposed him and then someone exposed him also for going back to like us not understanding the 19,000 followers.
Turns out that
17,000 of them were
purchased.
Like, purchased.
Well, and I think a lot of that what? Was
how
a
do
lot
you, of that. How do you buy followers? We suck at we really suck at Twitter.
Jeff, say
something nice about Nader. He's a hustler in life. Like he don't stop moving. This guy is so motivated and so like, and there's something Jason to Ferris, that because. One of the things, like we've said it earlier, I don't think personally as a broadcaster, I don't think he was very talented at all. But this is a guy who repeatedly had opportunities because of his hustle, because he does fucking grind. Yeah. And that's me saying something nice about
him. I'm going to push back on that. Just one piece though. He didn't hustle or grind. It looked like he hustled and ground, but he didn't. He bought 17,000 of his followers.
Yeah.
That's not hustling and grinding.
Right.
He had a weird fascination with a blue check that like his former broadcast partner mentioned that in the Periscope.
And I think when it came down to it, when the finals came down, it's like, well, everybody wanted that boy Wolf. And then somehow he was ahead. I'm like, how the fuck is this dickhead ahead? Nobody likes him. Like
Nader?
Nobody likes Nader. How the hell is he ahead? That's where you find out he's got all the bullshit fucking followers, and we're all like, no, that boy Wolf is if we're voting for these two, it ain't fucking Nader.
Yeah, it's that boy Wolf all the way.
Right.
Right. It's definitely not.
So that's when Nader got exposed.
Well, right. That's also where people went to look back. And I mean, I remember like even Mike, fuck the Falcons back in the day. I don't know that all this anti-Semitic shit was out there, but he was like, he would always rip him and like this dude was a fucking clown. And then somehow, but it also, it goes back, like Dave said, like how can, some people just pay followers or do whatever and get this persona online and they can. But like, nowadays it's like, dude, if you're a fucking asshole and you obviously tweeted shit, that's just like fucking like when the old tweets came up and like, how could you even fucking say like, how can you say shit like that? Like the shit was so fucking
wrong.
You're right. Yeah. So fucking wrong. The shit he tweeted. Like what? Dude.
Yeah. But I just, my whole thing. Like,
also, whatever I'll say one last thing. Cause I'm done on this topic. Y'all spent so much time talking about this dude. And
I guess everybody was.
I didn't even waste time. Like, oh, this dude's an asshole. Fuck him. All right, I'm done.
And that's my thing. Like, if I don't understand how other so many other people. Like, I know so many people saw him for what he was all along, but there seems to be more people who didn't pick up on the sociopathic behaviors, the narcissistic personality. He was clearly more obsessed and measured his entire value, and the only thing that was important was just this like you said, the verified status.
Okay, or people looked at it and said, okay, fuck it, I don't give a shit. I'm not gonna care about some dude with a blue check. I don't care about him at all.
Yeah, but
I'm glad he's exposed.
Good for you. But
I don't care.
You cannot, because good for you. You're better than everybody else.
I'm not.
I
like to think I am.
You cannot ignore or discount or say that this wasn't a major moment in Saints Twitter
history. Sure. Yeah, dude, it was a big week.
This is a touchstone moment.
It was a big week.
And you know what?
Saints Twitter is never boring. That's crazy. A fucking random Twitter poll. First, it was holy shit. First, it was the alternate universe of the alternate Twitter poll.
The whole spring of 2021 in Saints.
And then all of a sudden, there's this real poll, and we're voting on people, and some people make it on, some people don't. That's weird, but it's fine. But it drew a lot of attention. And then when you get the finals, then, well, clearly this guy is better, but no, this guy is fighting. Oh, and now this guy has all this shit.
And then just to watch it, I mean, just it's fascinating.
Are any other NFL fans Twitter versus?
I want to know
close to this.
I want to know.
I feel like somebody has to get involved in like Buffalo Bills Twitter and see what happens or something. You know, like I'm honestly curious because I've been on Twitter since 11, 12, 13 or whatever. Like, I feel like it's hard to top what we do, but again, I'm not in Bill's Twitter. I'm not in Bengals Twitter. I'm not in Dolphins Twitter.
Don't they all sound like Saints Twitter sounds legit and cool and all that. But when you say things like Bill's Twitter and Bengals Twitter, it just sounds silly.
Lions Twitter.
Lions.
I mean, come on. There's no way Lions Twitter could be anywhere near what this is.
Football team Twitter.
WFT. WF Twitter.
Football team
WFTT.
Twitter.
WFTT. Like, it just, right? Like, it can't be this good, right?
Can't be.
So thank you, Saints Twitter, for allowing us to be a part of your experience. Oh, we lost Scott.
He was out. He's done.
All right. So I just think
I'm laughing thinking about the NFL.
Lions Twitter.
Lions Twitter. Lions Twitter got me.
Nader blocked Scott.
He did, actually. He really did.
So Scott's gone right now. He just got blocked by Nader.
No, but in real life, weeks ago, Scott said something and Nader blocked him.
And now somehow Nader just blocked him out of fucking our Zoom call.
Right. Like,
he disappeared.
Like, I'm very curious. Like, somebody needs to create an account and log on to Lions Twitter and see what the hell they even have to talk about. I honestly can't picture other teams' Twitters being like this. Now, granted, maybe now, like, Texans Twitter. I could picture Texans Twitter being a fucking firestorm with everything going on there.
I mean, like, I'm relatively new to it. Like, I didn't really even start paying attention to Saints Twitter till I got a Twitter account for Taking the Over back in October of last year. And dude, it's fascinating. I mean, I love it now. Like, it's get even in the off season, it's keeping me hooked.
Right?
Yeah. You know,
it's crazy because you know, it's like you kind of follow. Like, as long as you start following the certain people,
right people,
and they're all connected.
Right,
you know, like that's it. Like, clearly,
fun.
We're not
it's
part
fun.
Of the.
That, you know what we
the,
need
the
to
alternate
do.
Universe.
We
need Twitter,
to.
We didn't know who any of.
We need
were.
To plan a Saints Twitter meetup, hangout or something for like. Sometime during next football season, maybe.
Oh yeah,
for a game like a tailgate or something, and do like a Saints Twitter get together.
Well,
for all of this.
Well, that's actually one thing we didn't quite talk about. The NFL is saying we're going to have full stadiums next year.
Yeah.
So we might actually have a tailgate next year.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's
that
amazing. No, you can't stop that moving train, bro. There's too much money on it.
No, right. I remember when Gunn said, like, there's a reason to be excited. I remember the lack of tailgates this year. The fact that we had Drew Brees' last season and we couldn't do shit
without a single
full dome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am all about getting back. Like the first game that I'm going to, I want to have the biggest New Orleans Saints tailgate.
It's going to be like 2006 all over again.
Right? I'll cook donkey bite. I'll park out in the parking lot. I'll cook some donkey bites. We may have six people there, but that's fine. It was bigger than last year. Tailgating. The possibility of tailgating. That's something we didn't bring up.
My internet completely just like reset the modem reset for some reason.
They got you.
Yeah. Nader got
How
you,
did we
bro.
Finish on the Nader topic? I'm sorry.
We finished.
Well, yeah, I did want to say one more thing. And I know, you know, kind of like Jason was saying, I don't know why you guys paid a lot of attention to it. And I'm one of the ones that did pay a lot of attention to it. And I think because, especially with the apologies, because if he put like, I don't know, it was like five different videos of him apologizing to different groups. And the one where he was apologizing for the racism was like, well, I went to, you know, an HBCU. And so just because you grew up, I grew up in a bad part of New Orleans, uptown New Orleans. And I was the only white kid within probably like a 20-mile radius. And just I grew up in that kind of atmosphere, and it doesn't give you the right to say racist shit. Like I would, the stuff he said, not only would I never say it, it would never even enter my mind to say it. Like it's just, I see people as people.
You're saying this shit.
You're saying it because you're looking for people who agree
right,
with you.
Right. You're saying it to, or for you everybody
hate, like
to
just
hear.
To even have those thoughts in your head, you have to have some kind of hate in you somewhere. Yeah, and I don't.
Right.
I don't
A,
have
to have
that,
the thought in your head. B,
I don't have the I don't have that hate in me at all for anybody. Like I just don't.
I wanted to say that I feel like I might be guilty of the one who first brought him up in the group before he even started getting exposed to doing horrible shit, and it was just like, this dude feels like there's something very wrong with him.
Well, I know
we
talked
like,
about how
new,
he's trying
new
to kill
Saints Twitter.
People.
Yeah, like it, and people that donate their time, money, and effort don't record videos of themselves saying that they don't want any attention for their effort. You know, like people who
if you look at our guy Alan Keller, yeah, like yeah. like I've donated to him. He you know,
does it quietly.
Right,
he does not
right.
want the attention.
Well, and he talked about it because some friends of ours, like Mike, fuck the Falcons. We were like, hey, let's like the Saints are looking for somebody who does stuff in the community. Let's nominate him. So we nominated him, and he won. But then when the Saints contacted him, you know, they wanted to make like a giant spectacle of everything, and he's like, that's not my what I want to do. Like, I just want to do the shit. I don't need to get a bunch of recognition.
I think there's a difference between the reason you promote what you're doing is because you want more people to support. You know what I mean? If I want to feed the homeless and I have a goal to feed, you know, let's say I'm able to feed 100 people the way that I'm doing it now, but I know that if I do a video or if I partner with the Saints or do something like that, I could feed 1,000. Then I want to do that, right? I want to make that bigger difference. Nader, though, you could tell. You just, you know, there's that sixth sense that you can tell that he wasn't filming because he wanted to grow his impact. He was filming because he wanted everybody to tell him what an awesome person he was.
Giving him fucking diarrhea, man. Hitting with some Popeyes, dude.
So anyway, yes, tailgating will be good. I know they're talking about having a full stadium this year.
What did I walk in on a loop back or something? Because when I walked away, y'all were talking about tailgating. And then
Scott was going for that conversation.
I got
Scott
cut
came
off.
Back and talked
my
about
internet. My
he got confused. His internet.
I swear, because I left. We were talking about it, and then I come back. Y'all talking about Nader, and
my
then
router
back up. I'm like,
decided to reboot in the middle of the show, and so
yeah,
so
Jeff,
I'm traveling.
I brought it back to talk to tell.
All right. Anyway, anybody got any final thoughts? Because we've been recording for.
I will say a couple of final thoughts. Pelicans maybe turn the corner. We'll be doing another show with Ben pretty soon as we gear up to the playoffs. We'll be doing more shows, and I like the fact that Gunn is in on the Pelicans, and he might be a good look charm.
Yeah, I want to watch, but I'm scared to start.
You'll screw it up, Jeff.
You have to break the curse. You have to do it.
Oh, you believe have to that do they're it. Good enough to...
Zion is that good. Zion will break your curse.
Okay.
That's Zion how good is he
going
is.
To, Zion is going to be one of the best players of all time. He's getting to watch him when he's 20 years old. Dude, I took my 12-year-old daughter to the first NBA game, and I told her this. She's one, you know, because she knows the name Zion. She doesn't, you know, she doesn't know much, but she's heard Zion.
She saw the Matrix.
He's that kind of star that even my 12-year-old, who knows nothing about NBA basketball, knows Zion, right? And so as he's playing, and he has another amazing, I mean, he's amazing. He hasn't even played the equivalent of a full season's worth of games.
He's played 68 games in his NBA career.
68 games.
68 games.
I explained to my 12-year-old
daughter. You know what's going to happen after he plays Thursday? Nice.
I say that man out there playing basketball is the same distance in age between me and my next brother than me and your uncle. I'm like, he's 8 years older than you. Think about that.
Wow.
And she's like, I mean, her face lit up. It was crazy, dude. We, y'all, if you're not watching the Pelicans, you should be watching the Pelicans. You've got a generational talent, and they've got so much young talent. They've got so many. They've got Brandon Ingram. They've got Lonzo Ball, who is next level virtuoso of an NBA player and will be. They've got Josh Hart. They've got Kyra. Alexander Walker,
in the starting absence in the last like 5 or 10 games, Alexander Walker has been really, really good.
They've got so much young. Like Jax Hayes has come on.
Like the kids are finally getting playing time and finally turned a corner. Yeah.
Our little baby pelicans
are starting to grow up.
And all we right. have Save so many, time, so guys. Many draft picks.
I'm going to have to get gun on the Pelican plunge.
Yeah.
Dude, we have so many draft picks.
Yeah.
So much future. Oh my God. Start watching the Pelicans now so you don't look like a bandwagon asshole in 2 years.
Yeah. Because right now, while they have a losing record.
Right. That's
it. It's getting better, dipshit. Relax. They've only played 60 games together.
All right. Just saying.
Go fuck yourself, you son of a bitch. I'll come out right of the booth and fucking whack you fucking prick.
The state charge is $325.
Yeah, right?
All right. What else you got? Final thoughts. Scott, Gunn, anything?
I am leaving for Disney World on Thursday.
Oh, have fun. You're going to Universal too, right?
Universal, four days at Disney, 4 days at
Universal.
Do you
have any Easter decorations in your front yard that I can steal while
I have going? Some eggs out there.
Hopefully they're hard-boiled and
full sour. Of rocks.
Dude, I will say this. Eggs. Get in line early for Hagrid's. Hagrid's is fucking awesome.
We will.
Best ride in the area, Hagrid's.
Wow.
I mean, it's that and Rise of the Resistance.
I was going to say.
I'm looking forward to it.
Jeff, have you ridden either? Oh, okay. Good things.
I'm looking forward to both. If you listen to my Tiger's Den podcast, you learn that when I see the Millennium Falcon, I will cry. So, looking forward to it.
Definitely take pictures. Also, Universal is still doing a Mardi Gras celebration. They extended it to April 11th, so I think you'll still see it.
Yes, we'll be there from the 1st to the 10th.
So they have like the current studios makes floats for them, and in a non-COVID year they actually do parades, but in COVID year they just kind of stay, you know, put them out. But they started like a little food and wine thing where they have different booths with food and drinks. There's some New Orleans stuff. There's some other countries to celebrate Carnival. Definitely recommend it. The prices are better than Epcot and Food and Wine, a lot cheaper.
Sweet.
So yeah, have fun.
Yeah, looking forward to that. We haven't been in 3 years, so looking forward to it. It'll be my son's first flight, so he's 4, so that should be interesting. A little worried about him keeping his mask on because they're kind of mask Nazis on the planes. So that should be interesting. We'll see how it goes. Hopefully I don't get kicked off a flight.
Well, keep it on. I mean,
it ain't me. It's him. He's 4.
Okay, we'll
start training him now.
Right?
He wears them at school all day, so we're hoping that will carry over.
Yeah.
Chipetta.
All right, Gunn.
Man, I'm so excited. I have made friends with a nice old couple that owns an alpaca farm 1 hour north of me, and I'm going to tour their facilities this weekend. Awesome. They're going to be my alpaca mentors. You know, I called the lady to talk to her. We spent an hour and 47 minutes on the phone, just getting to know each other the other day. Could not be more excited.
There's got to be an online community of alpaca owners that you.
There's absolutely. That's how I found these people. Okay. Yes. And so I'm excited.
Alpaca.
It's happening.
Wow. Alpacas. That's going to be fun.
I'm gonna have the alpacas pick games. Don't worry. It's gonna be
hilarious when we do a Dome Patrol PDF and like we get big, to meet like, the alpacas.
Are you gonna mow the logos of the games in the grass and have the alpaca walk into the square of which one you're gonna pick?
That's pretty elaborate. I've got a lot of that's pretty elaborate. I don't know if I'm gonna make it that far, but
well, if you use weed killer, you can actually. Well, I'm gonna start
this year when y'all do the pick 'em segments. You know, I don't participate in pick 'ems.
This
year, in lieu of me participating in the regular Dome Patrol pick 'ems, I'm gonna have my cat participate in pick 'ems. I will record his collections and I will post them to Twitter and they will be official. And if I expect you guys to recognize his picks.
We will, but I'm going to get him in.
It's going to be hilarious when Uncle Baby Billy beats us.
I know.
He's going to get him in on time.
He's definitely going
to
beat us.
He has to get him in on time.
Uh-huh.
B, I think you should, on your show, Taking the Over, you should have an alpaca of the week.
Well, like I said, I'm going to start with Uncle Baby Billy's going to participate in the Dome Patrol pick-ems this year, and then
I love it.
You know, we're going to
play against them.
We're going to have.
You're going to lose, but that's okay.
We're going to have alpaca picks in a long time.
Yeah, the cat will beat me too.
Let it be known. I beat you now at least 2 years in a row. Okay, maybe.
I'm not saying I'm good. Look, the cat's definitely going to beat me.
Right, but you lose.
The cat's
going to
beat a lot of people. Jason, the cat's going to beat a lot of people, and that's going to be the point. Yeah,
I'll tell you who the cat's going to beat.
There's a deeper lesson here.
What's the deeper lesson?
Take the cat.
It will reveal itself over time as the cat continues to beat people at picking.
All right. That is all the show we have for you right now. We are going to thank our loyal listeners for sticking it out through this episode and for downloading each week. Actually, I think this is going to be a really good one. I think when we look back on it and people listen to it, they're going to say that was your best one of the off season so far. Anyway, thanks for downloading every week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, which we do during the season, the Dome Patrol Podcast, that's this one, the BS and Beer Saints Podcast, hosted by Dave Romero, the Pelican Plunge by Jason and Ben, the Premier League Podcast by Ben and James, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, who he's talking about buying an alpaca farm, and the Tiger's Den Podcast with Scott, who is just now talking about Jimmy Graham. Follow us, each of our shows, on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, at Dome Patrol UK, at BS and Beer Media, at Taking the Over, and at Tiger_Podcast. Follow us on Twitter for live streams, especially the Dome Patrol live stream draft party at facebook.com/Dome Patrol Podcast. Just search for, well, actually just go to that. And if you want to listen to us the old fashioned way, go to domepatrolpodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, not complicated donkeys.
Later.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.